Well, now you know when you listen to this program how much we deal with the supernatural. In a moment, we will talk about the mysteries of the supernatural with Darren Owens. So get ready for this ride on Coast to Coast AM. Welcome back to Coast. George Norrie with you. Darren Owens with us. Darren, of course, is a psychic medium, spiritual healer, author, Mysteries of the Supernatural. For more than 18 years, he has brought enlightenment to a number of souls through the powerful psychic gift that he has carried since birth. We'll talk about that. Now, this newest book, Mysteries of the Supernatural, is quickly becoming known as the Bible for the Supernatural. And he's currently a published author, lecturer with Edgar Casey's Association for Research and Enlightenment. Here is Darren Owens on Coast to Coast. Darren, looking forward to the chat. How are you, sir?
I'm doing fine, and happy birthday, by the way.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate that. You're a listener, then.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Oh, for years. So you're like the Carnegie Hall of radio shows for us paranormal people. So I am very honored to be here. Thank you.
How did you get involved? I always ask people who are deep in the paranormal how they did this, and I will ask you the same thing. How'd you get involved in this?
I don't remember when the paranormal wasn't part of my life. I remember having experiences when I was 2 and 3 and 4 years old. And when you're a kid, you just think it's natural. You know, it's only when you start getting to be an adult, when people start telling you it's your imagination, there's no such thing as seeing your dead cousin over there in the corner. And that's kind of fascinating, because when I remember being a kid and someone would say, well, they've died. So, no, they're not. They're standing over there. Reality's different. Reality is actually reality when you're a kid. And then, again, you grow out of it to some degree. But I never did that. So it wasn't really anything that I got into. It was something that was always in my backyard, 24/7. So I've been blessed that way.
At this point, Darren, what would you call yourself? An investigator? A psychic? What would you be?
I found a term that fit me perfectly, and that is a supernaturalist. And a supernaturalist is a person who believes in supernatural forces affecting your life or just intervening, let's say. And that covers everything, because the supernatural can cover spiritual healing, psychic phenomena, the paranormal. Everything in that arena is supernatural. So that was the perfect word for me. Because there's a lot of terms out there.
There sure are.
I've always been able to sort of have my hand and dabble in a lot of the metaphysical realms in my life. But that word right there, that just fit perfectly for me. Supernaturalist.
And you continue to be the supernaturalist, aren't you?
Yeah. I love it. I love the supernatural. This is actually, you know, my third book, and it was by far my most favorite to write. It was a lot of fun.
I think everybody seems to be tuned in these days to the supernatural. You can hardly go anywhere without seeing TV shows, this radio program, things on cable now, the internet. It's everywhere. Why the interest? What do you think?
You know, I always see the growth of our consciousness when I'm looking at the global mind of our pop culture. So if we look, and I'm a TV watcher, I'm a movie watcher, so that's I see the evolution of how we are progressing through that type of media. So if we look back in the 90s, we had the X-Files, and the X-Files said the truth is out there. So we were all consciously thinking, wow, okay, we need to search more. There is truth out there. There's life. There's life after death. There's life in outer space. Everything was out there. Let's search for it. Everything's still a mystery. And then as we progressed, we hit the 2000s, and suddenly we had the show Supernatural, which said the truth isn't out there, it's right here. It's in our own backyard. And it clicked, because I saw that we had evolved to the point now where we were literally living in an era where the supernatural realms were filtering in through the veil. Everyone is having an experience in their own backyard with some form of the supernatural. And then you've got all the reality shows, all the paranormal reality shows saturating our television sets.
So they're everywhere, yeah.
They're everywhere. And that's another reason why I wrote the book. There was so much misinformation in the reality shows that I wanted my own perspectives out there. for people to read and take as their own if they wanted to, but it's being pumped into our conscious mind that there is something else happening. And I always say, just as much as we're looking through the veil at them, they are looking at us too.
Yes, this veil. Tell us about this veil. What is it?
The veil is very elusive. I always think of it as an intelligent membrane that we have to pass through twice. And sometimes we pass through it more times even in this existence. We incarnate to this planet, so we pass through that veil between here and there. And then when we die, we pass through the veil once again, going into adventures in other supernatural realms. And then some of us literally walk between the worlds. But this veil, I believe it's the way that we think. And so if someone has an open mind and they're aware of their abilities and they're aware of psychic perception, the veil is thinner for them. And then you have those people that literally see nothing. I always say their souls are sort of dormant. They walk around every day and they have a physical existence, but there's nothing really going on there. You've seen some of those people. And I think that's how the veil works. It's connected to us spiritually on some level. It's part of our DNA because we literally have to have that emergence in and out between the veil. So it's still kind of elusive. It's still kind of a mystery, but I believe we're connected to this intelligence between the realms because that's how we're all connected.
I want to break down. Go ahead, Darren. I'm sorry.
Yeah, if that makes sense. I try not to get too new agey with my terminology, but it's very difficult when you're trying to talk about this type of stuff. You know, it's experiential, really.
I want to go through these various realms that you point out in the Mysteries of the Supernatural. Let's start with the dark realm. What is that?
The dark realm is the area of the supernatural, as the name implies. It's demonic beings, fallen angels, negative thought forms. It's concentrated darkness and negativity. It's the furthest realm away from the source of all creation, God, whatever you want to call it. And it's even a part of us. Our subconscious, our shadow self, is connected to this realm in a way. So our shadow, our ego, that type of thing, anything that comes up that anger, fear, hatred, that type of thing, is connected to that realm. And as a practicing exorcist, this realm is something I've had to become very familiar with, people's shadow aspects, demonic beings, concentrated negativity that's attaching to people's energy fields. I've had to get very familiar with this realm and understand this realm so that I would be able to help people transform that fear into love. And so that's the dark realm, and it's as the name implies.
Is the dark realm like a level?
It is like a level, absolutely. And there are inhabitants and beings that choose to be in that level. If we look back eons ago at the fall of between God and man, if you want to look at Casey's perspective on that, where the fallen angels were cast out of heaven, we see an archetypal story there, where literally energy was split between love and fear. Fear went one way and love went this other way. And we serve two masters. Which one are we going to serve? So it's the spirit of rebellion. So this realm, this archetypal realm, is a spirit of rebellion. It's everything that's opposite of light. That's what this realm is.
The various spirits that are in this dark realm include vengeful spirits. What are they?
Vengeful spirits are souls that have died a traumatic death, either through their own hand, or they were murdered souls, or they were the souls murdering other people. So they literally had an existence that was completely consumed by anger, hatred, revenge, that type of thing. And they're nasty spirits. And I've had an encounter a couple of times in my work with vengeful spirits. They are completely consumed by their rage. So they have no conscious idea of how to cross over into the light, let's say. They're earthbound, but they're not just a lost soul. They're a lost soul that's completely enraged. So usually these lost souls will attach to the people they're upset with or they're jealous of. So they torment those people. And that's what a vengeful spirit is. And they're very, very, very close to the dark realm. And if a vengeful spirit is not helped, in the work that I do. If I can't get to a soul that's turned into a vengeful spirit to help them transform their thoughts and get them to cross over, they will eventually be completely consumed by their negativity, and they're very demonic at that point.
I assume so, you don't believe in a hell.
I don't believe in the literal hell. I believe that, number one, we create our own hell. We have enough of it right here on this physical plane. But I do believe in that realm within the supernatural that would be considered hell. But I don't believe in the fire and the brimstone. No.
Okay.
No, I think it's very symbolic.
These vengeful spirits, who would even want them to consider going into the light, right?
Well, every soul goes back to God at some point. I have a belief in that. That's just my own personal belief. I think there, if you want to say the word salvation, I think there's salvation for every soul. And if we look at these souls, we have people that are in body that are pissed off and angry and upset. And they're not dead. They're just that way. We know those people. So it's the same thing in the spirit world. So if those people can get help, why can't these souls get help? It's like ghost therapy. So I'm always helping, healing the living, and I'm healing the dead. That's how I look at it. So, but it's still free will choice. That soul still has free will choice not to partake in any kind of healing whatsoever.
Do you think those souls, like a vengeful spirit, when it reaches that upper status, does it come back in a reincarnated form, and is it a much better soul?
Yes, a soul that if it chooses to overcome its anger and its vengefulness after death, they incarnate, and they do. They have a more expanded awareness. Now, there's the other side of the coin. These vengeful souls can also incarnate without going through the light. I've seen that as well. It's called dark souls. They incarnate. They don't go through the light. They just swing back around and incarnate again. And then this is just my opinion, but you see a lot of serial killers in that kind of mind frame. I always believe those are dark souls.
Demonic spirits, of course, we all know what they are. What in the dark souls, yes. What would you consider the dark souls?
I would consider the dark souls the souls that are incarnate that have a belief in absolute power, physical power, egotistical power. They can be anybody. They could be in the pulpit. But there is still that need for control and domination and power. And then you've got even a worse case where you've got sort of that psychopathic personality. I call those dark souls. And I believe those souls have incarnated. They haven't crossed through the light. They haven't transformed through the light. They just swum back around and incarnated.
The possession and the spirit attachments...
Yeah.
What are they attaching to? What are they?
Spirit attachments are lost souls that have not gone on to the light for whatever reason, but they've attached to the living in their auric field. You know, we all have an aura that vibrates around our body. And this lost soul, for whatever reason, has found a certain energy with living that they want to feed off of, like a parasite. A lot of people that have addiction problems have attachments to them. A lost soul that had a cocaine addiction will attach to someone with the same addiction. I've seen people that had a weight problem. A lost soul has attached to them and consumes them as they consume the food. So it's a chain reaction. People lost loves. I had one case many years ago where a young woman's boyfriend passed away and he didn't cross over and he was attaching to her and she was losing weight. The doctors didn't know what was going on with her. She looked like a corpse, but he was completely consuming her energy.
Yeah, just draining her.
Just draining her. And then when I do my healing work on someone like that, I think of exorcism as an agent for spiritual healing. Let's remove the exorcist movie perspective. I don't get any pea soup when I do this work.
This is amazing. Darren Owens, our special guest, we're talking about his latest work, Mysteries of the Supernatural. How do you know somebody's been attached?
I see people's energy, and it's always been there. So when I'm looking at someone, I'm talking to someone, one part of me is seeing their physical self and looking into their eyes and communicating. The other part of me is assessing their energy field. And when I see attachments and when I feel attachments, it's like a bleep on a radar screen. And it's interesting because if it's a spirit attachment, this is what I found out in my work over the years, it'll be attached to the shoulders and the head, the upper part of the auric system. If it's a demonic spirit, it will be attached to the base of the spine, where the root chakra is. If people are familiar with the chakras, the seven energy centers of the energy anatomy, the demonic spirits are a little bit more nastier in the way that they want to consume somebody. They'll go through the root of that spiritual energy within somebody and then begin to feed its way up the energy system.
Does the individual, Darren, have to let that demonic spirit in?
Yes. Oh, yeah.
Okay.
That's it completely. And sometimes they know they're doing it. Sometimes they don't know they're doing it. For example, playing with a Ouija board in a graveyard.
Oh, yes.
I'm anti-Ouija board. I'm sorry. You know, I've had too many cases where people have come to me with hauntings and spirit attachments, and they played with a Ouija board, not really knowing what they were doing. And then there are those people that invoke demonic energies. I had a young man come to me, and this I wrote about this in my previous book, Becoming Masters of Light. And at the time, this was years ago when I was just a baby psychic. I hadn't even written a book yet. And I was working at a bookstore, and I was outside having coffee. I had just gotten out of work. And this young man dressed in black, flaming red hair, comes up to me and says, "Can you help me?" And I'm thinking he wants a book. And I said, "Well, I'm off the clock, but let me see if I can help, get someone to help you." And he goes, "No, they told me you can help me." And I thought, oh, crap. And I said, "Let's go over here," because it was a Saturday night during the summer, lots of people out on the patio drinking and all this. And I took him to the corner of the patio where hopefully people wouldn't see what I was going to do. But I realized that this kid was wanting me to help him spiritually. He had that look in his eye, and he had these very dark, dark eyes. And he just kept saying, "They said you could help me. They said you could help me." And I said, "Okay, well, I just started a prayer of invocation for him." And the kid hits the floor to his knees. And we're talking TV evangelist looking here, okay?
Like collapse?
Oh, he collapsed. I just started the prayer and he hits the ground. Both knees are on the ground. And I thought, oh my God, all these people are going to wonder what the heck's going on. One part of me is continuously doing the prayer. I had my hand on him because I thought, you know, I've seen that on television. This might work. I had my hand on him doing the prayer. The other part of me is looking around, and nobody's watching us. Nobody is having any inkling at what's going on here. Suddenly, I felt something shift, and I felt something pop. It was like this. It wasn't a physical hearing of something pop. It was something internal. And he looked up, and the kid's eyes were blue. Now, this kid's eyes were completely dark, and they were almost black when he walked up to me. He got up off his knees. He was completely in buckets of sweat. And he said, "They told me you could help me."
Hold on. We're going to let you finish that story, Darren, when we come right back on Coast to Coast AM. Hey, take a spin on our television program. It's internet-based. It's called Beyond Belief. You can look at it for 10 days free. In addition to that, you can look at every program you can muster in those 10 days. So just take advantage of it. Go to this website and sign up. www.beyondbelief.com. Simple as that. Beyondbelief.com. And we're talking about the supernatural tonight with the supernaturalist, Darren Owens, his work, Mysteries of the Supernatural. Darren, we were talking about spirit attachment and demonic possession, and you were right in the middle of that story if you want to review it a little bit and then pick it up again. Go ahead.
I was after hours at the bookstore I was working out. This kid comes up to me asking me for help. He kept repeating and saying, "They said you could help me." And I took him over to the corner of the patio outside of the bookstore, trying to keep him away from prying eyes, and I started doing a prayer of invocation and exorcism. Had my hand on his forehead, and he falls to his knees. And again, I'm looking around as I'm praying, thinking, my goodness, these people are going to witness all this, and there's going to be some chaos going on here. But nobody ever paid any attention. It was as if they didn't see us doing anything. And again, I heard this pop and something shift in his energy field, and he looks up at me, and his eyes were just clear blue. And prior to that, beforehand, they were very dark, almost black.
Wow.
And he broke out into a sweat, and he gets up, and he just hugs me. And I'm still dizzy from all of this situation, and I looked at him, I said, what did you do? What in the world did you invoke on yourself? And he had been in a vampire cult, and he had been through a ritual, and he, for 3 months, was doing this, and we're talking real ingestion of blood here.
Not good.
Not good. And something spoke to him that night and said, go to this bookstore, you'll find help. Something pierced the darkness that he had invoked, and he was just conscious enough to hear that. So that's why I always believe that everyone has a potential to heal. That's what I think it is. It's healing. It's not just an exorcism and then they go off all happy and free. It's literally a spiritual healing, a transformation. And that kid walked off into the night. I never saw him again. And I walked back over to the table. My coffee was cold. And I looked at my friends. I said, did you see that? And they said, what are you talking about? I said, that kid, did you see him fall to his knees? And I was doing a prayer and a full-blown exorcism over here. They said, no, you said you were going to the bathroom. We were wondering where you were. And that kind of thing has happened to me all my life, these very strange shifts in dimensions. It was as if we were behind this bubble so that I could do that work. And this was something, you know, when most psychics are learning to read tarot cards and auras, I was learning to perform spiritual deliverances and exorcisms. And not a religious way. This was a very real paranormal exercise, spirit releasement therapy work. That's what I was doing at 21 years old. I'm 38 now, so that's what I was learning. So I had the good stuff when I was a baby psychic.
All right, so the next realm is called the nature realm. What is that?
The nature realm is the realm of the fairy folk, and that's it. That is the fairies. That is the area of nature spirits. I like to call them the guardian angels of nature, and these little critters are literally keeping the ecosystem in balance. And contrary to popular belief, we all like to think that we can dance with the fairies, and, you know, you see a lot of that New Age kind of perspective out there. And the information I have gotten and my encounter with the nature realm is very much the opposite. They're not too keen on human beings. Why? Well, we haven't really treated the earth very well. So they're having to clean up our mess. So they're not too happy with human beings. And I was hiking several years ago with a friend of mine, and we're trudging through the woods, and I run into this. I felt like this energy was in front of me, and it was a very tall energy, and it was a light being. Wasn't quite sure what it was until I just began to try to communicate with this energy, and it was a nature spirit. No real communication. It was just a sense of reverence. And I really just bowed my head to this energy, and then it disappeared almost as quickly as it came. And the impression I got was the sense of that these energies, their job is to keep the ecosystem going strong. There's basically a nature spirit for every plant and tree and rock in this universe. So that's the nature realm.
All
and
right.
There are people that can, you know, fall into that dimension from time to time. They're very close to the nature realm.
Doesn't seem anywhere close to being bad like the dark realm.
No, but here's the thing about nature spirits. Nature spirits they're like Switzerland. They aren't all love and light, and they're not all dark and menacing. They're kind of in the middle. But if you anger them, they will react to that. I live in Arkansas, so lots of hunters in this part of the country. And a client of mine, drags her husband into my office because a week or so prior he was hunting, and when he came home he had little bites all over his legs that would not go away. And he was having lower back problems. And the doctors couldn't find anything. They brought him into my office, and he's embarrassed. You know, this last place he wants to be is the psychic's office.
Yeah.
And he's sitting there, and I look, and I see this little nature spirit peeking behind the chair he's sitting in. And this little critter starts communicating with me. And I said, "You were hunting last week. Were you shooting squirrels just for fun?" And he turned pale. And he said, "Yeah." And I said, "Well, you really made this little critter mad. You weren't hunting properly. You weren't killing food for the purpose of survival and bringing it. You know, there's a pattern. There's a way to do that. And you were just killing animals for fun. So you've this little nature spirit attached to you. He's the one that's been attacking you all this time." So I had to communicate with the little critter and say, "Okay, this guy's not going to do this again. He's learned his lesson." And the next day after the session I had with this gentleman, the bites were gone, his back pain went away, and he never went hunting again in that part of the woods. But that's how dedicated the nature spirits are. We must have respect for that.
The multidimensional realm. Now, this one, of course, really hits home, doesn't it?
Yeah. This one, I think, was probably the most fascinating to me in my work. You know that drawer you have in your house that has everything in it?
And it's all messed up, and you can never find anything in it.
Exactly. That's the multidimensional realm. So this is the area where I have categorized the cryptid creatures, the UFOs, the interdimensional beings, the Mothman, the Shadow Men, all of these beings, we aren't quite sure what they are. We can't figure it out.
Would you throw Bigfoot in that batch?
I absolutely would throw Bigfoot into that, only because of an experience I had. And I know this is outrageous, but this is just an amazing life. I mean, this stuff is just, it's almost as if these doors were always opening for me just for my own research. And I'm not a scientist. I'm not a cryptozoologist. These are just psychic experiences that I've had. And I've always been very interested and have that investigator mind. And we have our own Bigfoot here in Arkansas. So in southern Arkansas, we have what's called the Falk Monster.
Yes, that's right. You do.
And a movie that all of us growing up here grew up with, The Legend of Boggy Creek.
Yep.
From 19. I love it. I watch it to this day.
A classic. But these multidimensional creatures could actually be physical, correct?
Absolutely. They have the ability to manifest in a physical form and then completely dissolve back into their multidimensional form. They travel between dimensions. The reason that I feel like this is true for me is the experience I had with the Falk Monster. My assistant and I were on our way to Louisiana for a conference I was teaching at, and we took a few days off early to hit Falk, Arkansas. It's in southern Arkansas because we were going to go right through the town. So we went to Falk, and I began to ask the town folk about their sightings with Bigfoot. And what's fascinating about this little town is, to these people, it's like seeing a deer. It's been so widespread, it's been going on for so many years that people just look at it as, hey, there's a deer. That's how these sightings are so common down there. So some of the locals told me where some recent sightings had happened, and my friend Carol and I went to a patch of those woods that they were telling us to go to. So we park the car, we go trudging off way deep into the woods near the creek, and we got to a point in the woods where the crickets began to no longer chirp. I didn't hear any birds anymore. It was just everything went quiet. And I told Carol, I said, "You know what, let's just sit here." And I wasn't looking for a sighting. I wasn't looking for anything. I really wanted to find out what this creature really is. So I just sent out my little feelers, and my spidey sense began to come up. And I could feel that this creature was watching us. You know that feeling you get?
Yes, you know that there are eyes out there.
There are eyes out there. And my friend Carol began to be scared, and she goes, "I'm terrified." I said, "Calm down, it's okay." And I thought, what is this? And immediately when I asked the question, these downloads began to happen. And I began to receive this information that this creature was not going to harm us. It was just assessing to see if we were going to try to harm it. When obviously it found out we weren't going to do anything, we didn't have cameras, we didn't have anything, as the usual people that do, trudging off into the woods like that, it began to tell me what it was. It's an interdimensional being. These creatures have been here for since almost creation. They're guardians of the earth. They go in and out of dimensions. They can manifest physically. Then they can disappear. That's why sightings can happen in one place, and then 10 years can go by, nobody sees anything, and then, boom, they start up again.
Right. Or UFO sightings, you see something up there, and then, poof, it's gone.
It's gone. These creatures are just like that. All this information was coming very, very, very fast. And it was a peaceful creature. There was no animosity or anger or animalistic anything with this creature. It was a completely peaceful being. And the reason that they make noise, they scream or throw rocks, as some people have experienced, is because those people aren't sensitive enough to hear them. So they start having to make physical sounds or start throwing things to get people to go away. They don't want to be hunted. They want to be left alone. And that's the information I kept getting, was these were interdimensional beings. That's why we really haven't found, to my knowledge so far, corpses.
Because they're in the other dimension.
Exactly. And
makes sense.
This was just fascinating to me. Absolutely fascinating to me. Finally, the energy was gone. I guess the creature decided, okay, well, there you go. How's that? So we're walking back to the car, and I'm consumed with this information, and I was writing it down. I have a pad of paper everywhere I go. And my friend Carol says, you know, this isn't fair. You always get this stuff. And I'm just sitting there. And I said, well, I'm sorry. You know, she goes, you may get all this stuff, but I want a sighting. I don't get to see anything. So we get back in the car, and it's almost dark. We're driving over the creek back out of the town, and I'll be doggone if that beautiful creature wasn't standing on the side of the road and runs across the road. We slam on the brakes and it disappears. It looked like it gone under the bridge. We get out of the car, we're running to the bridge, we're both looking over the bridge. We don't see anything at that point, but that it happened so quickly. It was like a dream. And I looked at my friend Carol and I said, okay, well, he heard you.
So you're convinced you saw a creature. You just don't know what happened to it.
Yeah, don't have a clue. Of course, we weren't going to really test fate and walk down there under the bridge almost at dark.
No, I don't blame you. Now, how did you toss Mothman into this mix?
I never was interested in Mothman. Mothman was fascinating, but I never wanted to investigate it. There was always a sense of don't go there kind of energy. And I was doing a class in Maryland, and I had a tour in Indianapolis. My next class was in Maryland, and a friend of mine said, well, why don't we just drive there? I'm on vacation. I'll drive you to Maryland. And so we're going through West Virginia, which, you know, the minute you cross the border, you are literally in another dimension in that state. And I had heard the stories of Point Pleasant and the Mothman, and the movie was out at that point, but I never really investigated it. And we were driving through this little town, and we passed Avalon Motor Lodge. And I thought, well, that's an interesting name for a motor lodge. And we go further down and get to another hotel. And we walk into, I turn on the TV, walk into the hotel, and it's the Mothman Prophecies.
Synchronicity at its best.
Yeah, and my friend goes, oh, no, we're not doing this. I know what happens when I'm around you. I'm not doing this. And I said, hey, it's not my fault. So enjoy the movie. I'm going to go brush my teeth. I go into the bathroom. I shut the door, and I hear her watching some Mothman Prophecies, and then she turns the TV off. And I'm brushing my teeth, and suddenly I start feeling this static energy in the bathroom of the hotel room. And it becomes so loud, and it becomes so distracting that I thought I was having some sort of aneurysm. I really did, because I started blacking out. The next thing I know was my friend banging on the door asking me what's going on. I look down. There's a broken glass on the floor. I'd obviously passed out.
Not good, Darren.
Not good. So at that point, I immediately start asking myself what happened. And the impression I got, because we were just outside of Point Pleasant, I didn't know it. I wasn't paying any attention. You know, us psychics, we barely, you know what's going on unless it's in the ether world. And I knew that it was this being called the Mothman, and it was trying to test me. This energy is like a scientist. The Mothman is like a scientist. He tests energy. He's not good. He's not evil. He's not anything. And I think he was trying to see how far he could, I guess, maneuver his energy into mine. It was very strange, but I knew it was this energy. I have never investigated that any further due to the fact that I had that experience. And I'm not scared of anything. I mean, I can walk into a room full of demons and be fine. But that made me very, very nervous. But I knew it was what we called the Mothman. And, of course, now we have paranormal investigations and philosophies thinking, well, maybe these are shadow people. Maybe these are the djinn, you know, Rosemary Ellen Guiley is researching
who wrote? Yeah, she wrote the foreword to your book, as a matter of fact.
Very much honored that she did that.
Yeah,
but,
good person.
Yeah, and so that, you know, who knows really what this being is, but it was definitely multidimensional. And I think that the more power we have as psychic beings, the more these beings are attracted to us. That's what I got from that experience.
Well, that's a great category. So far we've talked about the dark realm, the nature realm, the multidimensional realm, and we're going to come up to the top of the hour pretty soon, Darren, and I want to come back and go through some of these other realms in the last hour with you. The third hour, we'll take phone calls here as well. But when people, let me quickly just ask you this, when people get possessed, do they need someone like you or an exorcist to clean them up and save them?
People are possessed all the time. It's just different levels. We can be possessed by an obsessive thought that we're going to get fired or we're not going to be able to pay this bill or so-and-so is cheating on me. See, our thoughts can be... See, that's something we can transform ourselves. And the word exorcism, we're always exorcising something. We can say, you know, I'm not thinking that anymore. That's silly to think that. We just exorcise the negative thought. But it can be magnified to the point to where we can have a concentrated negative thought consume us, and that's when we do need some help.
Darren, we're going to come back, go through some of these other realms as we talk about, of course, the mysteries of the supernatural when we come right back on Coast to Coast AM.